And welcome to another Norman Dice. It is very warm in Bowie, Maryland, and hopefully we'll have a pretty hot show tonight. Okay, I know that's a pretty bad joke, but I had to make it anyway. I couldn't help it. I open the small chat room. I hope I'm going to find somebody here, but we'll see. We're waiting to come in. This show has its genesis in some Facebook experiences that I had the last couple of days. There's nobody in the chat room. Well, actually, the last couple of weeks, not couple of days. And I feel bad about it. It was not the right place, but I added a comment to a, I added a comment to a Facebook post by some people who were talking about the glitter of Chicago. And as my brother says, sometimes people walk the other way when they see me coming because they always know that I'm going to turn to my progressive roots. And those roots lie in the fact of that I believe that the lower classes in this country, not necessarily racially, but generally speaking, the black classes are the black population is trapped in the lower classes of American society, just like there are other groups of people, like in Appalachia, in cities, people who had industrial jobs, former union people, all of those people, they're trapped. The mobility of American society is fast disappearing, and that makes me feel very bad. If you want to get in on this conversation, by the way, and it's also another way you can listen to the show, just dial 347-945-6713, and you'll be able to connect with Norm or come to the chat room. I know it's summer. I know it's July. What I really would like to talk about is why in places like Chicago, which I hope will serve mostly as our example, though it's true in many, many other places, I do not want to indicate that the only place this is true is Chicago, because that's really not what I'm trying to say or ever would say. Hey, guest 6550, welcome to the Norman Knight chat room. We're happy to have you here with us. But anyway, so on this Facebook post that I made, I was challenged to just don't be a Debbie Downer, but to do something about it. And the only thing I know how to do about it, at least at this point, is to talk about it. And so talk about it in, on the Norm at Night show. Just some facts that I think we all need to keep in mind. First of all, I was stunned to learn that over the 4th of July weekend, 14 people were shot in Chicago, and 3 of them died. I thought, how can it get worse? Well, it got worse this past weekend. 21 people were shot. And I'm not sure how many died, but several did. what are we going to do about this slaughter? Because that's what it is, slaughter. It's open warfare on the streets of American cities. And it's exemplified by Chicago. Everybody's always got the same answers. Oh, we got to have better gun laws. Oh, we have to improve education. Oh, we have to create jobs. We need new solutions because those solutions don't work, at least in the way that we're all put together now. We're not getting better education. In fact, education is getting worse every day. More and more people are dropping out of high school, particularly in the lower classes. And I'm talking about lower economic classes. And unfortunately, they're becoming permanent. And that does not bode well for the country in the future. You know, people ask me if I'm a progressive. Hell, I'm a progressive, all right. I'm probably a proletariat. I believe that we have to do something about this distance between the top and the bottom. Because when we don't, people shoot each other. You know, and the one question that people are asking, why is it that blacks seem to shoot each other? How has our society turned a group of people in on itself so that they are committing self-genocide, that they're just shooting each other? They're destroying their best and their brightest. If you have an opinion on that, if you have an opinion on what to do, God bless, call 347-945-6713. Yeah, education is the answer, but not the kind of education we have now. It doesn't work. Nobody's staying in school, particularly, as we said earlier, in the inner cities. And nobody's caring about it. You know, and I'm no better than anybody else. You know, I work in an independent school. There's not a person that is coming to our school, really, that's poor. Our school doesn't come from the inner city. The students who come to our school don't come from the inner city. The students who come to our school don't come from the lower class. And when I say that, I am talking about economics. It's not a code word. I don't believe because you're black, you're in the lower classes. I believe because you're poor, you're in the lower classes. And there are, generally speaking, as a percentage, there are more poor people among black populations than there are among white populations. And we need to do something about that. But it can't be artificial. I've really become frustrated. And what do we do to keep people from shooting each other? Why are people shooting each other? Why every time in some neighborhoods where poorer people live, when groups get together, the guns come out and the shooting starts? Why? Someone come up with an answer. 347-945-6713. And I don't want to hear about, you know, how I'm prejudiced. The fact is, people are shooting each other. What do we do about it? I'm not talking code. I'm talking people. It's not a synonym for black people. I want to know why we're shooting each other. What do you think at 6550? You got any opinions on that? Either put them here in the chat room and I'll enter them into the conversation at large, or you can call in at 347-945-6713. I got a ton of lines open. I'll call you if you want. I have a guest line too, that you can call. They've taken something out when they redid this. I had a line where I could call the people I interviewed. Oh, I don't know. I guess I should learn how to use my phone. But I'm really kind of depressed that, you know, we walk down the fancy streets of Twitter in Chicago. Well, you just go a little bit south and the people are shooting each other. And you can do, you're in Los Angeles, you move towards Watts, people are shooting each other. In Detroit, it's a war zone. Not only are poor people shooting each other, they're having their water cut off. Yes, most of those people are black. But they're not shutting their water off because they're black. They're shutting their water off because they're poor and powerless. How do we empower people so that they do not become so frustrated that all they have to do is shoot each other? That becomes their expression of frustration. Violence. Yes, I don't believe you have any real change without some violence taking place. But we have to try to get a handle on this, or America will quickly or soon degenerate into those dystopias that are so popular on TV right now. And it won't be aliens doing the conquering. It'll be good old Americans. Yeah, it will. If you got an opinion on this, 347-945-6713, or you could tweet me at Ann Constantine. I guess I can try to move Twitter into this whole conversation by setting up a hashtag, but I've never really done that. Uh-oh, I got a regular phone line ticking away. Line in use, that means somebody else in another office got it. Hey, I got a call coming in. Hold on a second. Let me just get the mouse over there. Okay, you're on the line with Norman Knight. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, I'm off on my soapbox tonight, I guess.
Yeah, I noticed. A little bit of beginning, you know.
Huh?
Yeah, I was curious. I had heard about the thing in Detroit with the water.
It's amazing.
I thought they couldn't do that. I know that's true in for hygiene and public health reasons. We just let the water
To pay the bill and had the water turned off.
Yeah, but I mean it's something that's so basic. It's not like it costs the city or county, whatever municipality, anymore. You know, the cost is negligible.
Pay to phrase so little of it.
Yeah, but I just That's, now granted, I don't think they should still get free cable TV or phones or whatever. Electricity, even that is, you know, I'm sort of undecided. But water, no. No, leave the water. There are people living in that house anyway.
What about heat in the winter?
Well, there's another one, you know.
So if you deserve heat in the winter, you deserve air conditioning in the summer.
Maybe.
Maybe.
At least, well, you're going to have electricity then, and, you know, all the rest. But, you know, without going into everything, you know, the water issue, I think, is you know, shouldn't even be debated. That is absolutely essential.
Well, really, for the city of Detroit, is there's big corporate customers that owe thousands, and they're not turning them off.
Yeah. So, yeah, you were you know, getting into the, you know, cause and effect. Education not working, Chicago.
I've come to the position that education, as it's currently structured in this country, does not work.
Yeah, well, it's not going to solve the problem of gun violence by any means. I don't think there's even a correlation. It just doesn't work. What you need to do is we'll just get down to the very core level. Okay. When I wake up in the morning, or we'll say a kid in the ghetto wakes up in the morning.
Right.
Okay. Has to look at it and participate in it.
Say that again, because you broke up.
Okay. He's going to look at his culture.
A poor kid wakes up in a rundown neighborhood. Now what happens?
Well. Okay. He's going to look at the culture, the society he lives in, and he has to find his position, his place in it. And the reason all of his team... His self-worth is determined by the feedback he gets from that community.
That's true.
Okay, so here we are. This is where we are at the very core. Okay, this kid has to have something, and it's not there, or what is there, quit, that they just give up. I mean, it's the logical thing to do. Because if I wake up and there's roaches all over the kitchen, there's no food, and you want me to go to school and sit at a desk to algebra lessons, how dysfunctional is this? You know, this isn't going to work for me at all, you know. So we really have to go to the core, and I don't, you know, the families are weaker than they've ever been. The only thing I can suggest now is that, and I hate to say it, kids from the home, boarding schools, things of that sort, let them learn.
Yeah, man. But those kind of charter schools aren't working either.
They're working out here.
Where they take the kid out of the home. No, they're not.
They are the most successful schools in my whole district.
They're not working.
They beat the hell out of the high school. I mean, well,
but
the older high school.
No, I don't care about that. That whole system doesn't work.
Right, but see, here we are again. We're expecting, I'm at fault too. I'm expecting education or teachers to do the job the whole society should be participating. But the kid is out. He's not part of that. Until that kid is part of the world where he's getting positive feedback, where he feels good about what he's doing in the world, none of the rest is ever going to matter. He's going to be a criminal.
Right. And school, there's no, the way it's organized, doesn't do that. Whether it's a charter school.
Well,
you know, just because you take the kid that wakes up in the neighborhood, your kid who we were talking about,
and you say, we'll
buy you a suit and a tie, and you come to this school and we'll wear uniforms and we'll all march around in disciplined lines, it's still algebra. And
right.
It doesn't mean anything to him or her when they go home.
Right.
And
well,
why should it?
Well, here's the thing, too. You know, okay, we've spent a lot of time educating or trying to educate the kids. How about the parents? No answer? No response there?
I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah, I do. You think we can't? Well, I'd hate to do this because it's on a progressive level, but you can mandate training and counseling for these parents, especially any of them who are receiving any kind of public assistance.
But they can't work then.
Oh, no, they can do this. They'll find time for it. I'm sure they can work that out. Who says
not
they work?
Somebody.
Who says they work? I don't know that they work. The ones that don't work, well, hell, they can go to school full time. You know, we had work fair, didn't we? Now, what are we going to call this? School fair.
We need to forget about school being organized in grades and buildings with principals and hierarchies and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have to teach that kid who wakes up or present that kid with other options that are viable for the kid to do.
Sure.
You know, we got to teach them to be an urban farmer. We've got to teach them to be a yard sale entrepreneur. We've got to teach them to open little businesses. We've got to teach them to protect themselves short of gunfire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, the gun thing, you know, I mean, Chicago is like, one, it's a big city, so you're going to have a greater numbers of incidents, but I think on the same week, like the July 4th weekend.
July 4th,
there
was 14 people shot. This past weekend.
There were on the 4th of July weekend, there were 82 people shot and 14 people were killed.
Oh, wow, that's okay.
Okay.
This past weekend, there were 21 people killed.
No, I guess their aim improved. So.
No, it was 21 people shot.
Okay. But on that very same weekend, the July 4th weekend, there were 2 people shot in Sacramento, in the whole county.
I said that at the beginning of the show. People in poor areas, and there are poor white people, too. They just don't live in cities. And they're shooting each other, too.
It's, I don't know that it's all, it's never a racial thing. I've had groups, one thing that I've noticed about crime, the organized crime, is that you know, it seems like he moves in and they have no options. They can't get work. That, you know, they're discriminated against, all the rest. And they turn to crime and they form gangs. Stay in until the next group comes in. And there's a succession. I mean, it just keeps going and going. Eventually, the older crime groups merge into society. They go legitimate, as they say.
Yeah, okay. I'm listening. I'm not
because
necessarily agreeing, but I'm listening.
Yeah. Because, the original, if you, let's say, look at the gangs and all that, there were English gangs, Irish gangs, and there were German gangs. And then the Italians came, and then they had their gangs, and the Jews came, and they had their gangs. And that lasted quite a while until now we have the black gangs and the Puerto Rican gangs, and then came the Mexican gangs, and then came
the
Russian
Germans,
gangs.
They didn't shoot each other all the time.
No, they were a little more, they knew the power structure. Because they could buy politicians, police, whatever they needed, judges. You know, they knew they could do all these things. So you didn't have to do this, you know. And they were organized in a sense that they could make treaties and with other gangs and truces and what have you. And they knew enough to keep the level of violence down because they didn't want attention, obviously. So, that's history. We don't really need to deal with that now. What we do need to deal with, which is part of your agenda here, children at the border and millions of immigrants. And I just wonder what we've let in.
Oh, my God, you're as bad as the other.
What have we let in? You're telling me they're children. Or the media is trying... The media is trying to tell me they're children.
You don't think they're children?
Well, I think there are a lot of children. And also criminals and terrorists. And if they aren't now, they will be soon.
I know. I heard another one of you Republican crackpots. Talking about how they're bringing a pandemic to us.
Yes, they are.
Oh, my God, help me.
You know how many... We've been having...
Hello?
...in the high schools here. Two this year. Where are they
two
coming from?
This year?
Tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis.
Don't tell me they aren't bringing disease here. They're bringing freaking disease. And very virulent strains, ones that we don't know how to deal with.
Oh, my God. So we should impeach Obama.
What the hell? Where'd that come from?
Well, all these.
I didn't say that. Did I say that? Did I?
No, but it's the next thing that all you anti-immigrant people say.
Oh, come on, Norm.
Not enforcing the law.
Oh, Norm. Why don't I hang up and you can talk for me? How's that sound? Since you know what I'm thinking more than I, even in advance of what I'm saying.
Somebody else call in and help me. 347-945. 6713.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. We know these kids are coming over with all kinds of, things, exotic diseases. I know for a fact they have all types of parasites that we've never even seen before. And, you know, you just can't let them run loose in the world. I mean, it's just, you know, you at least got to give them some medical care and clean them up.
I agree 100%.
And the other is this, you know, it's not
but,
like
I mean,
you're saying...
Some people are ready to start building camps in the desert.
Yeah, I mean,
and the next
I'm,
thing you know, there'll be incinerators in those camps.
Oh, come, Jesus God. Look, what should... Here's the thing, the question that I have, and nobody seems to have an answer for it. How do 90,000 kids walk across your border in a year? And Homeland Security doesn't know anything about it.
How do 90,000 kids walk from Honduras and El Salvador?
Well, they did.
Across all of Mexico.
I know, and everybody saw them all riding on the trains. And all the pictures I saw of the people on the trains, they weren't children. Young adults, but they weren't children.
I don't know what the answer is to this whole thing, but I know we got 26 minutes to figure it out.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Here's Mexico. That's the stretch of the trip. These trains are running right along with all these kids on the road and hanging on the trains, and everybody knows they're bound for the United States. And now what? Do these trains just roll across the border and nobody stops them? Or do they hop off and then jump over
they
fences?
They hop off and walk. I mean, one of the things I think a lot of people misunderstand, I mean, it's essentially a land border. There's no way to patrol the whole thing.
Right, right. I understand that. But I also understand that, you know, I don't know that the effort to prevent
it. You know, and okay, so you're a border guard, you know. And I don't you're riding your horse or, you know, driving your Jeep, and 40 kids start walking across the border. Do you take out your AK-47 and start shooting them? Stop, turn around and go back. And they don't. What do you do?
You don't do that.
We seem to have enough money for refugees in Iraq. We have enough
money.
How about taking care of refugees on our own border?
Yeah, well, you know. Well, Iraq's interesting because I think we support nearly every side of every dispute with the exception of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard.
Oh, jeez.
No, we're absolutely clueless. We have no freaking idea what to do.
It's absolutely hilarious.
Well, even then, now they're saying that, you know, they sent we'll send trainers and advisors to work with these Iraqi units, and it turns out the units are full of either Sunni terrorists or insurgents, whichever, or Shiites that we used to fight against. And they'll just kill them.
The Sunnis were on our side for years.
Some were, some weren't.
Saddam Hussein was a Sunni.
But, you know.
Not yet. He was a Sunni. And they kept the Iranian Muslims in check.
But he had, but his political group, you know, party was far different from anything else in the region, you know. I mean, the Ba'ath Party was
by itself.
I'm not 100%
sure of that. He was
the Ba'ath Party.
What was the name of his party?
I just said it, the Ba'ath Party.
The Ba'ath Party, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. They were in Syria, they're in Egypt.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a, I don't know, kind of a pseudo-Nazi type thing.
What? Yeah, there's a lot of that left over from the war. I got in big trouble.
Yeah.
I got in big trouble saying we've inherited all this medical research. The Nazis were doing it 50 years ago, and we're just trying to put a pretty face on it now.
What's that? The
all the genetic stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm losing that. I don't know where you're going.
Our whole rocketry program came from the Nazis.
Well, yes, that's true. I mean, we would have got there.
Lots of
it's
our,
just
lots
slower,
of the Nazis. You know, nobody likes to admit it, but the Nazis were doing, they didn't call it DNA, but they were playing with it.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually Watson and Crick would come along.
Yeah, it was rather primitive. I mean, you know, from what I know about the Mengele experiments
primitive.
And that, it was, you know. And,
Joseph Mengele would be a bio-entrepreneur today.
Oh, well, I guess he could be. I don't know.
Oh, shoot. Joseph Mengele, biological entrepreneur. You heard it first on the Norm at Night show.
Yeah, well.
I
anyway.
That.
Well, I know. We're bouncing all over topics tonight, so anyway,
but it's all connected. It's all connected.
Right, but I think we're connecting through string.
Well, hey, come on out there. I know there's people listening. 347-945-6713. I admit it probably is just a hoop to listen to my West Coast buddy and I just whack these things across each other with some degree of intelligence, which is seldom heard on other radio programs.
This is true.
It's absolutely true. Which brings us... we can come back to this, to the third topic, which actually Joe Scarborough just hammered at, what's the guy's name, the Pulitzer Prize winner from the Post, the black guy.
Let me think.
I'll think of his, Eugene Robinson.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he's blabbering about, you know, how they pick on Obama because he's black. And, you know, that no president's ever been treated like that. And Joe Scarborough just said, Eugene, that's just not true. He's not being treated anywhere near as badly as Bill Clinton was or as George Bush was.
The media detested Richard Nixon. That was just, and vice versa. You know,
it's
it's
part of being the president.
Yeah.
Now, how many of you people out there think it's worse for Barack Obama because he's black?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, at least, you know, within my circle of friends and even my online friends, there are only a couple, very few, and they're way out there on every topic, but who will call him the Kenyan or the thing. But see, they're birthers and all that as well, so you can't... And,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's,
you know, you can't...
The first
I don't expect...
president who is birthered.
Yeah, well, I
Frank
don't expect...
Roosevelt was... Frank Roosevelt was birthered. Andrew Jackson was birthered. Now, Andrew Jackson wasn't even married to the woman he called his wife.
Yes, yeah, well. So anyway, most of the conservative folks I know, especially libertarian, that's never been an issue and never even been discussion. You know, it's just not there. So I don't know that. I think there is, but I don't know that it's not dominant. It's a really small percentage.
I think if he wasn't black, his incompetence would be crucified.
Yeah, well, he's, I have to say it, his administration is, they stumble a lot.
They're not very good.
They're terrible, actually. Yes, of course.
The national security team is a joke.
And the foreign policy is schizophrenic, which I've said numerous times.
Hillary Clinton was not a good Secretary of State.
Yeah, in fact, all of them, I mean, I'd have to go back to... think of one who had any real prowess in terms of foreign relations and use of the military, and it's very difficult. It really is.
To be looking for a president.
I'd have to go back to Truman, I think, or Eisenhower, even though there's folks there too, but, you know. But I think I understand why we need, you know, civilian control of the military. That I understand that entirely. But unfortunately, well, who do we lay the blame on, though? I don't know. Now we could say too that the information that's being gathered is, you know, shoddy, inaccurate, biased.
Well, there's another issue, though. Up until 1940, America had no army to be commander-in-chief of, except if we were in a war.
Yeah,
an official declared war.
Hmm.
I mean, the astounding thing is that Eisenhower in 1940 was a lieutenant colonel ready to get out.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we can look at World War II and we see the necessity. World War II, once it all happened, we had to be there. There was no question there. The war since then, that I think we really had to participate in. Not a
Why
single
did we have to help the British defend their collapsing empire? I need somebody to tell me that.
I think we were afraid of Europe going completely communist or socialist, we'll say that. And especially England, well, England itself, you know. It was every possible. Well,
you know, I mean.
But look at the changes that happened after Churchill lost the election.
Churchill lost the empire.
Right. Well, we could say that, but the fact is that the debt from World War II, on top of the debt they already had, absolutely crippled them. They were done from going on. They didn't recover from. They didn't recover from their recession till the 1960s, for God's sake.
Well, they
were dirt poor.
They could have not fought Hitler and preserved the empire.
Yeah, they did what they had to do. I mean, they were a dog was cornered fighting for its life, you know.
They didn't have to defend Poland.
That's true.
They didn't have to get in the war.
But the the question is, well, where will Hitler go next? I don't know.
Well, the Hitler would have gone where he wanted to go to begin with.
Yeah.
And that was to the east. He never wanted to go to the west. And, you know, he invades Poland. They get together. They say, look, okay, this is fine. You have our tacit approval to move east. And you have a secret treaty to that effect.
Yeah, I wonder, too.
And
I mean,
I don't believe the gas chambers would have been created if that had happened.
Yeah, that thing, you know, I just finished watching a German miniseries.
Uh-huh.
It was like a 6-hour miniseries from Germany. It translates to Generation War, and it involved, you know, young people in Berlin, and they go off to war in various capacities. And anyway, one of the things was at the end of it, of course, they all realized the futility of the entire affair. But and of course, there was one guy in the group, and the thing was, his father had fought in World War I as a German, and he always considered himself a German before being a Jew. And if you look back, there were several hundred thousand German Jews fought on the German side. They were Germans. They thought of themselves as Germans. They had been there for centuries.
Right. They weren't even.
And
they didn't even. The amazing thing, which it's one of the great reasons why I'm glad I went to the Holocaust Museum. I know it sounds. There were only 400,000 Jews in Germany.
Hmm.
That's a population of 75 million.
Really? I thought the numbers were far different from that. But
no, it's right from the Holocaust Museum. The big Jews. The big number of Jews.
Yeah.
In the 30s. When Hitler came to power, there were 400,000 Jews in Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they were was in eastern Poland and the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And they were
slaughtered. Oh, yeah,
by everybody. They were slaughtered by the Poles. They were slaughtered by the Ukrainians. They were slaughtered by the Russians, and then finally the ultimate slaughter was the Germans.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and even then they used, Lithuanians, Latvians, Ukrainians. They became the death squads, going from town to
absolutely.
Town.
Absolutely,
you know the thing. So, but. But do you know, this is something
all
I know.
All these freedom lovers the Ukrainians fighting for their freedom, those were the butchers.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talks about that, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look at what we'll call the fascist movement in the 30s. It went all over the place, the Middle East, all Europe. Some activity in South America, you know, what can you say? You know, it was an idea spread, and, you know, socialism was gaining in popularity, and now here was another variation, national socialism.
Yeah, well.
But see, here's the one other aspect, just to, you know, fortify our argument about the the Jewish presence in Germany. Junkers. There were Junkers. They were the highest ranking military.
Well, they were agricultural aristocrats.
Yeah, but see, they were not only, well, the Junkers were actually, you know, I mean, they were dominated by Prussia. But there were
right.
French, there were Poles. If you had the ability, you know, the military prowess, and you had the education and all of the rest of it, you know, you were going to be part of the group. That's the way it was. Now, you can, you know, we can talk about them all. I mean, they were very strict.
Did you just log out
people.
Of the chat room?
Oh, my little kitty is on the keyboard. She logged me out.
Oh, okay. I thought for a minute that maybe the guest in the chat room, it was not you.
Oh, no. No, the cat did that.
Oh, all right. So the cat logged out. The cat was
yeah,
at
yeah.
5550.
Yeah. Oh, she is so big. I mean, she's double, maybe triple the size. You know, when I got her, she was just this tiny little thing. You could hold her in one hand, which is what I had to hand feed her with a syringe.
How old is she now?
Now she's maybe 3 months, a little older.
Oh, she's brand new.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, when I got her, she may not have even been 10 weeks. I think she may have been younger than that, you know. She was like, you know, she had never eaten solid food. She was absolutely...
Where did you get her?
I got her because...
No, where?
I know. Oh, where? Oh, she
yeah.
came from out of some bushes somewhere.
Oh, my God. You look at your rabies.
Well, the folks were, you know, they found the whole litter. And they knew that they had no room anywhere for these kittens. And so they just started calling people and said, can you take a cat? Can you take a cat? Blah, blah, blah. And so I got a little... This is a local group here.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, so, you know, so she's... And I had no idea how much work it would be.
Did you ever stay?
No, not yet. She's not old enough for that.
Are you gonna?
Oh, hell yes. I don't want... No, we don't do... She'll be an indoor cat exclusively as well, so...
Don't do that to her.
What?
Don't do that to her.
I have one cat... was an outdoor cat, but he was an outdoor cat before he ever met me.
What's the matter with outdoor cats?
Look, she's perfectly fine. My other cat, Lucy, now Lucy has been an indoor cat from day one. She never goes outside.
Does she have claws?
Yes, of course.
Well, a lot of people, when they make their cats indoor cats, they have them declawed.
Oh,
they
I don't
get
do
outside
that.
And they get slaughtered.
Well, of course, that's why they keep their claws. If they ever do get outside, they run out or what have you. You know, I want them to have that. You know, aside from the fact that it's just mutilation and very painful, because I have had cats pass before I knew what declawing was, and those cats felt pain for years afterwards. You could see that every once in a while they'd twinge or something, you know, there'd be
some,
you know, there, you know what I mean, it's like dormant pain.
I know
pain
exactly
that,
what
you know,
mean.
And I saw it and I said, well, okay, that's it, it's, you know, and I talked to other people and they said, yeah, you just don't want to do it. And it's not like they, you know, I have plenty of things for them to claw on. You know, they got their little kitty towers and ropes, and they got all that crap. They can claw all they want. So it's not an issue. It's an issue when she scratches me. I mean, my legs in particular.
What she will be denied by me is the thrill of the hunt.
Yeah, I understand that, you know. But the time casted her just live long. You know, they may not be as, you know, they may enjoy being outdoors more, you know. And I did go through a period where I was letting my cats out. They were tethered. So I put a stake in the middle of the backyard, and they had a leash and a collar, and they were able to stay outside.
God, you put your cat on a leash?
Well, of course.
Oh,
at least they got to lay outside in the grass and the shade, and they got to chase bugs and whatever.
Yeah, but they do that without the leash.
But
they don't go away.
Yeah, no, they. You got to remember.
Our cats. Every once in a while, she'll go on an excursion and be gone for a couple of days.
Yeah. Right.
But
I've had coyote sightings half a mile from here.
Okay.
I mean, let's face it. If it's a coyote. It's that simple.
I know. We have foxes around here and skunks. Skunks just pound the cats.
Yeah. Well,
possums are pretty tough on cats, too. And then we had, our big cat who just died. She was in her prime. I mean, she ate a whole family of rabbits. The whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Not all on the same day, but she got them all.
Yeah, well, you know, now I have, Doodles is the outdoor cat, and I mean, I almost never see rats anymore because he's got it all covered. I mean,
right. Well, anyway,
he's got it down, you know.
Okay, so, we had our little cat talk. Let's sum up now because we got about 50 seconds.
Okay.
So what should our position on gun violence be? What's the way we're going to solve it? Or is there no way?
I don't. Solution for gun violence per se, that is within the regulation of guns. I don't have a problem with the psychological evaluation or the criminal background checks. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that, you know. But all the restrictions and these phony...
Okay, so real quick, how do we solve the border immigration problem?
Put the National Guard on
the
border.
Put the National Guard, okay. And is Obama
you want to go
getting
back
picked?
Home where you belong, and that's the end of it.
Is Obama getting picked on because he's black or because he's president?
No, he's getting picked on because he's incompetent.
Okay. And finally, one last thing. Dick Cheney said today, only thing the president and Congress should worry about is the military. And with that, we're ending this Norm at Night, and we'll talk about that idea next Monday. What's the responsibility of the federal government in the 21st century? And thanks for calling, and we're a little over the limit, so I'll see you next week.
Okay, guy, you take care. Have a nice weekend.
This was fun tonight, yeah.
Well, I had to pent up stuff because you weren't on last week, so.
That's right. But I'll be on next week.
Okay. So
All right.
I got something good for you. I'll put it on your
site. Yeah, send it, right. Send it. I always like your emails or your Facebooks.
Oh, this is good.
This is Norman Knight saying goodnight. Come and see us in Bowie, Maryland next Monday, 9 o'clock. 347-945-6713 is the call-in number. blogspotradio.com/Norm at Night, and that's NITE. And we're out of here. See you next week.
Yeah, man. Good night.
Good night.